You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, folks, that was a fun day of Houston sports, was it not? Welcome into Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. What a fun few hours it's been. Of course, this afternoon, the marquee event in Houston was the Astros opening of the playoffs. They got it done in Game 1, 8-2 over the Red Sox to go up 1-0. But the Rockets, immediately after the Astros game concluded, Rockets started across the street in Toyota Center. Yes, they beat the Shanghai Sharks by seemingly $5 billion, and that's to be expected. I'm not going to focus on the ins and outs of every player in the box score against Shanghai, because yes, the Rockets, any NBA team should be better than the Shanghai Sharks. I get it. However, the manner in which the Rockets did it, the pure domination, that had to make you feel pretty good if you're a Rockets fan. I know it was only available on streaming. This was not fully televised, available on the Rockets Facebook feed or at rockets.com/live. I believe the next game, next Monday, that's the next preseason game on the 9th, will be the same way. So if you didn't see it and you're tuning into this podcast, well, first off, welcome, and thank you for listening to my thoughts on it. But if you do want to view it, it is in the Facebook archives over at facebook.com/rockets, so I believe you can view it pretty easily. And there's not a ton to dissect the box score as a whole. Yes, the Rockets are a better team, but it's the manner in which they did it. They went up 32-7, 8 minutes into the game. They were up 81-41 at the half. So really, the second game in 3 nights, even playing at home in a very, maybe 25% full arena, because let's be real, all of Houston was about the Astros today. The Astros, not just a playoff game starting right before the Rockets, right across the street, a home playoff game. So it was the perfect storm for Toyota Center to have not many butts in the seats. But the reality, despite, you know, kind of a lethargic vibe, and it being the second game in 3 nights in the preseason, the Rockets came out, and not just the backups, the regulars came out, even against the Shanghai Sharks, with a purpose. And that has to make you feel really good as far as I'm concerned. I say it a lot, but handling success is a big part of being a great team in the NBA, because it's easy to have your edge when you're counted out. I've pointed out in the last 5 years, the James Harden era of the Rockets, the two best seasons by far, this past year and then the 2014-2015 year, both came amid muted expectations. People kind of saw them as like a bottom-tier playoff team both years, and it seemed like they fueled off of that. Well, the flip side, what happens when you are projected to be a really good team, as the Rockets are this year, and when you get a ton of positive press for having a dynamic offseason, as they did, most notably signing Chris Paul, but then P.J. Tucker, Luke Bamute, Tarik Black, just a great offseason for the Rockets all the way around. And folks, I know it's two preseason games, but they're playing with an edge. It's not just the fact that they're making shots. That certainly helps. The Rockets, again, had another positive night from three, led by Eric Gordon yet again. Eric Gordon tonight, 5 of 8 from three. That came after him being 6 of 8 in game one, which means he's almost at 70% from three through the first two games. I'll talk about him specifically in a moment. But really, it's the overall team efficiency, and I think it starts with the two stars, the all-world players, Chris Paul and James Harden, setting a tone. It would be perfectly understandable if one of those guys wasn't really motivated. It'd actually be very understandable if they didn't even play second game in 3 nights against the Shanghai Sharks. But for those guys to come out there and not just play, but play well, they each played 26 minutes, had a combined 22 assists in those 26 minutes. James Harden actually had 10 assists to just one turnover, so very strong efficiency from James. He was also plus 40, the Rockets were, when James was in the game. Chris had the double-double, 11 points, 12 assists. James just had 9, so he narrowly missed the double-double, but James seemed perfectly happy to get his teammates involved in this one. But the bottom line is, when you have two stars that are engaged enough to come out the second night in 3 nights, even in a gym that's incredibly lethargic against a Chinese team, and put up 22 assists in 26 minutes, that has to make you feel very good about the professionalism of this team. About the only critique you could throw out, I know James Harden, he was 3 of 3 from inside the arc. He was 1 of 8 from outside the arc. And he was 3 of 12 in the opener against Oklahoma City. I've seen some folks worried about his 3-point stroke. That's the last thing I would worry about. I would worry about James Harden if he didn't look explosive, if there was a commitment issue, if there was something that translated more in terms of his focus or lack thereof, which you worry about with a guy that great, did he come into camp ready? Where is he at mentally? In terms of James Harden being able to shoot, I don't buy for one second that James has forgotten how to shoot. I think shooting is a thing that's inherently variable. That's going to come around, and even if his form's a little off, okay, well, they've got 2 weeks until the season. They'll work on it. It's just like a golfer that's trying to refine his swing. They'll go to the lab, and they will fix that. I'm not worried about any variability in three-point shooting. What I want to see from James, is he explosive? He did make his shots inside the arc. Is he making good decisions? Is he committed? And to me, he set a great tone. 10 assists to just one turnover. He came ready to play, even with all the factors that we described earlier. And so, to me, I'm pleased with what I've seen from James in the first few games. Would I like him to make more shots? Of course I would. But that's not something... I don't view James through the prism of, is he making his threes or not? I trust James enough over five-plus star years in Houston to know that that's eventually going to come around. With James, it's all the other aspects of his game. And right now, he seems on top of those. And again, the plus 40 doesn't lie. That's what the Rockets were when James Harden was in the game. 9 points, 10 assists in his 26 minutes. Chris Paul, very similar stat line. 11 points, 12 assists. The only difference for Chris, he did have four turnovers, but he also had a little more luck from three. Chris Paul was 3 of 8 from behind the arc, whereas James, of course, was just 1 and 8. Those two set the tone, and really, if you're the Rockets, you got those two guys against a Chinese team. Well, I think we can all figure how it's going to end up. Ryan Anderson did not play. He bruised his hip on that hard fall the other night in Oklahoma. That was expected. P.J. Tucker took his place in the starting lineup. P.J. actually did not score, but this was not necessarily the game for him. Actually, only took two shots. P.J.'s value generally tends to be against more structured half-court teams, which this was not necessarily that. This was a game in which the Rockets were able to simply overwhelm them a lot with their athleticism, with their run-and-gun capabilities. P.J. shines in... I would say P.J. Tucker shines more against the type of opponents you faced the other night in Oklahoma with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony against the Chinese team. This was about getting out and running and making threes when those presented themselves. So Ryan didn't play. PJ filled his place. He did fine, didn't score. But ultimately, again, you're playing the Shanghai Sharks. That's not really that big of a deal. The real storylines for me, I'll start with Clint Capela. Clint didn't really get involved the other night very much. I wouldn't say he played poorly. He just didn't get many touches. Tonight against a Chinese team that, well, he's both stronger and more athletic than you'd like to see him take full advantage. He certainly did. 19 minutes, 16 points, 11 rebounds. He was a force, 7 of 10 shooting. Not much you can take out of it from the standpoint of predictive value because, yeah, he had certain both athletic and physicality advantages that he's not going to have against most NBA teams. But if he's a really good player, you've got to be able to basically put the ball up if you're a big man inside and score at will if you're going against an outmatched opponent, and that's what he did tonight. So that's positive. But the two guys who flashed the most to me, besides the steady leadership of Chris Paul and James Harden, and again, just seeing those guys go out there, 22 combined assists in 26 minutes each, then yeah, that's a really good sign. But the two guys who individually flash from a shot-making, playmaking standpoint, again, were Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza. Ariza, 18 points, 6 of 14 shooting, also had 10 rebounds. The Rockets really seem to thrive when they have Ariza helping out on the boards, especially when you have either Ryan Anderson, who's not a great rebounder, or P.J. Tucker, who's definitely a small forward playing at power forward in this game. So it helps when the Rockets are their best is when Ariza has the energy, not just to make shots, but also to help out on rebounding. And then Eric Gordon, I don't know what else you can say about him. After a great night in Oklahoma, Thursday night against the Sharks, Eric in 19 minutes, 17 points on 5 of 8 shooting, all from behind the arc. He was plus 31 in his 19 minutes. Folks, through two games, Eric Gordon has played 43 combined minutes against the Thunder and the Sharks. He has 38 points and is shooting almost 70% from behind the arc. That is incredible. And then you combine that with Trevor Ariza, who's also about 50% from the field and also has shown some strides in terms of the rebounding departments. To me, those are your variables. When you go back to the 2016-2017 Rockets, and I've said this before, when the Rockets were at their best, folks, that's when Eric Gordon was playing at a borderline all-star level, almost 18 points a game the first 40 games of last season, shooting over 40% from behind the arc and 43% overall. He was a borderline all-star. And Trevor Ariza, I won't say he was an all-star, but he was actually in the top 20 in the league, I believe, in some of the advanced metrics. And of course, that reflects all of his contributions, defensive included. And both of those guys, it seemed like began to fade a little bit down the stretch last year. Now, the Rockets do have more depth this year. Certainly at the wing spots, you have P.J. Tucker, Luke Bamute, and so that should help you keep the minutes down. But in addition to having more depth, sure, that helps you, but Eric Gordon and Trevor Reason, when they're at the best, certainly they're better players, so you're going to have a tendency to want to overextend them. The good news for the Rockets, if they come out with a mentality that we've seen these first couple of games, and yes, this was against the Shanghai Sharks, but the key for the Rockets is the margins. If you can go out there and win games by a lot, then that is going to help you, if you're Mike D'Antoni, not overextend those guys, to manage the minutes easier, because the easiest way to manage minutes is to go out there and win a lot of games by 15-plus points to where you don't feel compelled to play those guys down the stretch in the fourth quarter, and that's how you can keep those minutes for Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza to a more manageable level to where they can have the same type of shooting performance in the second half of the year than they did in the first, because for both of those guys, their shooting percentages dipped a lot, most notably with Eric Gordon, who was just 32% from three, actually below average in the second half of last year. So to me, those are the two variables for the Rockets. When they were at their best last year, when they were a dominant team, 31-9, that's a 62-win pace. Yes, that's dominant. Even without Chris Paul, that's how good Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza were. So you want to figure out how to manage those guys to get the production you had the first 40 games of last year, and we've seen it already to start this preseason, to carry over for the full campaign and the playoffs this year. And so, yeah, they've gotten more depth. That's helpful. But in addition to getting more depth, what's also going to help is if you can consistently play the game with respect, show opponents, you know, basically play the game, not the opponent, because sometimes if you're the Rockets, the second best roster in the NBA, you are going to be better than your opponent. It may not be as much as they were against the Shanghai Sharks on Thursday night, but there's going to be nights where you feel a billion times better than your opponent. But if you don't show the game the respect that it's due, then all of a sudden, even if you're the better team, it can be a five-point game in the fourth quarter and you feel compelled to overextend those guys. And over the course of 82 games, that can hurt you. But the Rockets, if they are mature enough, and that's what I'm seeing to start this preseason, because the Rockets have had a lot of positive press, and to have not just the team, but led by Chris Paul and James Harden, setting that positive tone, to me, that's a really good indicator of where their heads are at. And if they play with that level of intensity in the regular season, then certainly they should get a lot more blowouts. And in addition to having more depth, that should also help keep Trevor Ariza and Eric Gordon fresh. And folks, if they're fresh, then yeah, this team, it's better than any besides the Warriors, and they can even push the Warriors. That's how good they are. That's why I laugh so much at the idea. I don't think many Rockets fans wanted the Rockets to trade both Ariza and Gordon for Carmelo, which was the rumored asking price from the Knicks after they ultimately dealt him to Oklahoma City. But folks, that's absolutely ridiculous. Gordon by himself, when he was at his best, was a more valuable player last season than Carmelo Anthony. Then you factor in Trevor Ariza, his defensive versatility. Hell, there's some metrics, as I said, that based on the contributions of Trevor defensively, that had him as an all-star level player as well through the first half of last year. Now, I'd say those were slightly misleading. But either way, these are two very, very quality rotation players. And in terms of the James Harden era, other than Chris Paul, and Chris Paul is the exception to the rule. Chris Paul is the exception to the rule because this is a bona fide top 10 player in the league. I don't care where he goes. Chris Paul is just that damn good. And Thursday night against the Sharks, 11 points, 12 assists in his 26 minutes, which you certainly consider a positive night, plus 23 with Chris Paul on the floor. But not counting Chris Paul, because he's in the class all to himself, Eric Gordon is the closest thing the Rockets have had to another perimeter star in the James Harden era. He was better than Chandler Parsons. He was better than Pat Beverly. I'm not counting Dwight because he's an interior. That's a little bit different. Eric is as good as the Rockets have had. And that's tricky because, of course, James Harden has the ball a lot. Now Chris Paul has the ball a lot, too. So you have to have not just the ability to make shots and to obviously be a quality basketball player, but to fit in as not the lead option and still play at a high level. That's what Eric Gordon did for the first 40 games of last year. And the Rockets were 31-9. That's how valuable he was. Not just like he put up these numbers and the Rockets weren't winning games. No, he put up these numbers and the Rockets were winning. He put them up in the context of a contender. The question is, how do you sustain that over 82? And to some extent, sure, the Rockets added more depth this offseason. That should help. But the other part of it, too, of course, is just winning more games by a lot and just resisting that temptation to overextend in November, December, January, which I think maybe the Rockets did to some extent last year before Gordon had a few injuries to his feet and his back. And, of course, in addition to adding more depth and winning games by a lot, it should also help that the Rockets have Chris Paul, which makes guys like Trevor Ariza and Eric Gordon options 3A and 3B rather than option 2A and 2B, which it felt like they were last year, because James Harden, as great as he was, there was not really a reliable secondary option. So maybe if you're having to be 2A or 2B options, that forces you to expend a little bit more energy than it would if you're 3A and 3B, which is the case most of the time for Eric and Trevor this year, because you're playing alongside both James Harden and Chris Paul to create as far as generating offense for the Rockets. So those two are the key, and it's a long season. I'm not going to say that they've proven that they're all the way back after two preseason games, but it's certainly an encouraging start. Thursday evening, I don't know why I try to say Monday. Felt like a Monday because of how lethargic it was at Toyota Center, but folks, they were 9 of 19, a reason Gordon cumulatively from 3, and that's following up a strong outing from them in Oklahoma. They're both over 50% from the field, over 50% from 3 combined. It's been a tremendous start. Those two, to me, are your X factors if you're the Rockets, and it's early, but what few signs we're seeing are positive. Besides them, I would say it's about what you would expect. Lupa Amute, I thought it was a good game for him. He was 5 of 6 from the field, 2 of 3 from behind the arc, so continuing the theme of the Rockets, shooting the ball well. He had 12 points in his 16 minutes. Another positive contributor off the bench, limited minutes, but Jochi certainly made an impact. He has not played many minutes. The other night, I believe he just played 5 against the Sharks. He played 12, but he was 3 or 4 from the field, did have 8 points, did have a block, did have 3 boards. So limited minutes we're seeing from Joe. He's looked generally aware. And you can see that the Rockets hold him in a little higher regard than some of those guys at the end of the bench. And I've said before, you combine his IQ with his 7'2" height, 7'7" wingspan, and athleticism, you can see a path that when he develops more strength, he's going to be an NBA player. So to see signs from him, he was definitely the best Chinese player on the court. I don't know if that's saying much in this case. But through 2 games, I know it's a small sample, but I've been encouraged by Joe. I don't think he's going to be ready day one. Obviously, there's a lot of strength to build, but I don't think it's crazy. And of course, maybe it depends on exactly what injuries there are, but I don't think it's crazy that maybe by March or April, if the need arises, you could see Chi making a little bit of a push the same way that Clint Capela did by April of his rookie year, when he generally did not play as a rookie, but all of a sudden down the stretch of the year, he got a crack in the rotation, and all of a sudden he was your backup center behind Dwight Howard in the playoffs. So Joe Chi, what we've seen from him, it's been encouraging. And then the last guy I want to throw a shout out to, Dene. He did not play the first game. It's a maintenance program for him. But folks, 5 for 5 in 10 minutes, 10 points, 5 rebounds, plus 16. Folks, Dene's 35 years old. You'd expect him to be able to beat a team like the Shanghai Sharks with his veteran savvy, and that's exactly what he did. Even threw in a 15-foot dream shake in there for good measure. So Mike D'Antoni has said before that Dene actually impressed him more than anyone else in training camp this year, just based on the fact that he was playing. Because you look at a torn groin muscle, which Dene suffered against the Spurs, and folks, that's not easy to play after just a few months. And so for Dene, 35 years old, it'd be very easy to take the Brett Favre route. And what I mean by that is an excuse to not go to training camp. Just take a few days off. But folks, he went into training camp, and not only that, he's been ready to play. He looks like he is in regular season form. Now, they raved about him in camp, but we don't get to see, as the media, that many camp practices. So, you know, you kind of have to take what they say with a grain of salt, because we haven't seen it. But folks, combine what they've said in terms of D'Antoni and the coaches, what they've seen of him behind closed doors, and then from what we saw tonight, Dene looks ready. And for a 35-year-old that's coming off a torn groin, he had every excuse in the world to not go through training camp, not be ready, and just say, hey, I'll turn it up by next April or May. But I think what we're seeing from Dene, it reflects everything we're seeing from the Rockets as a whole, and that's where I'll close this. They're committed. It would be so easy to show up against the Shanghai Sharks and just mail it in with a gem that's 25% full. Nobody really cares because you're expected to win by 500 million points. And everybody's attention is on the Astros and everything else going on in Houston. Deshaun Watson, the Texans have a Sunday night football game coming up, et cetera, et cetera. It would be so easy to say, hey, we had a great offseason and be happy with the press clipping. Instead, the Rockets, I think it starts at the top. Chris Paul, James Harden, let's throw Dene in there for good measure because he's a very respected 35-year-old veteran. They're setting the tone. And if those guys are ready to go on a Thursday night in those circumstances against the Shanghai Sharks, then the other guys are going to follow. And folks, over 82 games, that's what's going to make the difference in getting the second seed in the West. There are a lot of teams, and I'm going to especially point to Oklahoma City and Minnesota, two teams that while they have a lot of talent, have not as a team been through the 82-game grind to the extent that the Rockets have, and now Chris Paul's not with them, but certainly Chris Paul has had similar levels of success with the Clippers over 82 games. You look at the cast in Oklahoma City, you look at the cast in Minnesota, there's a lot of projecting. There's a lot of looking at talent and saying, okay, this looks really good. But going through 82 games, it's not just about being the best team on the court on X amount of those games, because the best team doesn't always win. Over 82 games, it's a grind. You've got to be there night after night. And so, yeah, if you show that level of commitment in the preseason to come out against the Shanghai Sharks, second game in three nights, gym not even close to full, and go out to a 32-7 lead, an 81-41 lead at the half, I think that speaks very well to the character in that locker room. Really, all of the stat lines positive. The only nitpick in terms of the rotation guys that I could throw in there would be James Harden's three-point shooting, and that's not something I'm going to worry about, especially when he's efficient with the ball, 10 assists to just one turnover, 3 of 3 from inside the arc. I'm not worried about James Harden's three-point shooting, and I don't think you should lose any sleep over that either, Rockets fans. By and large, I think, and it starts with those three veterans. Let's throw in Trevor Ariza, too, actually. I mentioned Paul, Harden, and Nene, because Nene's the elder statesman, and Chris and James are the two stars. Let's throw Ariza in there, too. Ariza, at his age, at 32 years old, with all the miles on hitch legs in the NBA, to go out and get 10 rebounds in 24 minutes in a preseason game? Folks, there's no reason for a veteran like that to play that hard. Yet that's the tone that the Rockets are trying to set, and ultimately that's what I think gives them a leg up. Now, they won't on the Spurs. The Spurs, of course, we know, led by Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard, they're always going to be there. But against some of those sexy teams that get brought up a lot, the Oklahoma City, Minnesota, I think this is the kind of thing, the culture that separates the Rockets a lot. The Rockets have a degree of been there, done that maturity that I don't think those other teams have. And over the course of 82 games, yeah, that's going to mean a lot. And if you get to that second seed, then of course it means home court in the first two rounds. But in addition to that, what it means is that you're not only do you have home court in the first two rounds, but presuming the Warriors don't have catastrophic injuries under the one seed, you're avoiding the players, avoiding the Warriors, excuse me, until at least the Western Conference Finals. And maybe by then, who knows, you force Oklahoma City into that fourth seed, and then you let Oklahoma City have a shot at Golden State in round two, and who knows, maybe Oklahoma City pulls off a miracle, or at the very least, maybe they go six or more games and at least tire the Warriors out a little bit. But getting the second-best record in that two-slot over 82 games, it takes a lot of maturity. I'm not sure other teams have that, but the Rockets, what we saw Thursday night, yeah, it's the second game of the preseason, but folks, I'm telling you guys, that's what winners are made of. So it's early, it's two preseason games. I'm not going to say that because they beat the Shanghai Sharks 144-82 that this proves anything in a vacuum, but I think what we've seen so far, the Rockets, despite all the positive press clippings, all the other things that have been said in a positive manner about this team going into camp, for them to come out and play this well in their first two games, folks, I don't see how you can't be happy with that. So as you go to sleep on Thursday night or whenever you're listening to this podcast, I think you should feel pretty good about what your Rockets have shown through two games thus far in the preseason. So on that positive note, I will wrap it right there. It's been a long day for me, as a long rewarding day with the Rockets winning, the Astros winning as a Houston sports guy, but it's going to be busy tomorrow. I'm actually going as a fan for Astros game 2 at 1 o'clock, so I'm going to try and get some rest. Hope you guys do as well. But for now, as always, I want to say thank you to all of you to listening to the podcast. And if you're not already following the podcast or me on Twitter, please do so at Locked On Rockets, at Ben Dubose. That's where we have regular updates on what we're doing as a show, what I think about the Rockets, or even if you care about what I think about the Astros and Texans too. And of course, if you want to hear more about the Texans, please check out Locked On Texans. That's our sister podcast hosted by Robert Lane and Brian Patterson right here on this same Locked On Podcast Network. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn. Same places you can find Locked On Rockets and subscribe to us. You can also subscribe and listen to Locked On Texans. So I think that's about all the plugs I have for this Thursday evening. Congratulations, Houston, on a fun night. Astros win, Rockets win, Rockets 144-82 over the outmatched Shanghai Sharks. And for now, I hope everybody has a fun weekend enjoying the Astros and the Texans. And then we'll be back, as far as those of us in the Rockets community, on Monday when the Rockets go to New York to visit the no longer Carmelo Anthony-led New York Knicks for the third game in the preseason. Remember, that will also be a streamed game either at rockets.com/live or on the Rockets official Facebook page. So I'll be talking with you again very soon about that one. But for now, folks, have a good night, Rockets fans. It was fun, and have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.